You're listening to Kol Dodi Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at koldodi.org.
Let's pray. Father, Gal enai v'avitan nifloot metoratecha. Lord, we pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lasok b'divri Torah. Lord, we ask you to bless our God, your word. You make us holy through your commandments, and immerse ourselves as we immerse ourselves in the words of Torah B'Shem Yeshua. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, to be in your presence, to be among so many amazing people, Lord. Achim v'achot, brothers and sisters, the mishpacha, the family of Elohim, family of God. We thank you, Lord. Lord, it's so hard with our, with COVID and with what's going on, to be together like we want to be, and so many of us, whether it's with our families or our friends. And so we pray you help us, Lord, to have time with you. Help us to, we pray for those physicians and epidemiologists and all those are working so hard, all the medical workers, to get the vaccine out and help us to achieve, if it's herd immunity, which seems to me the only way, we just pray that we would be at that place. We pray for in Israel that the same thing and around the world would take place, God. But we thank you, Lord, that ultimately you're in charge of everything that happens in our lives, Lord. Ultimately, Lord, there's a reason for everything. And you work, you promise that you will work everything for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. You've promised us that, and so we trust you for that, Lord. We know that you are working it. So help us to be aware and synced into what you want us to do and how you want us to see this played out, Lord, to respond to you. We thank you, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Well, so many Jewish attorneys. Abraham was the first, according to Alan Dershowitz. How did Abraham act as a lawyer? Intervening for Sodom, right? For Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Anyway, he has a book out on it. But why seriously so many of our people are attorneys? It's because the Bible is in large part a book of legal codes and courtroom dramas, even, with a passion for the administration of what we would call mishpat, justice. And it says in and tzedakah, and for example, in Deuteronomy 16:20, it says tzedak, tzedak, tirdof. Justice, justice shall you pursue. And there have been many who have actually quoted that verse as for a reason why they're in that profession. And now there's many that unfortunately are not doing it in a godly way in the whole field. But thank God for those that are, that have a passion for the administration of justice. So in the Parsha Mishpatim that Suzanne read from earlier, in the very first verse, in verse 1 of chapter 21 of Exodus, says, "Now these are the ordinances which you will set before them." And this word is mishpatim. Let's say mishpatim. Very good, mishpatim. And that word actually means judgments, but judgments that create order and harmony. So let me say this. There is right and there is wrong. We refer to it as morality. There is a higher and ultimate authority before whose eyes we live and to whom we must one day give account. There are positive and negative consequences for our actions. We call it reward or the Bible calls it reward and punishment. Ecclesiastes, or Kohelet, chapter 12, the very last two verses, say this: a final word. When all has been heard, fear God and keep his mitzvot, his commandments. For this applies to all mankind. God will bring every deed into judgment, including everything that is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Those are sobering words. Romans 2, 14 through 16, New Covenant, says, for when Gentiles who do not have the Torah do by nature the things of the Torah, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the Torah. They show that the work of the Torah is written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts switching between accusing or defending them on the day when God, the day when God judges the secrets of men according to my good news through Messiah Yeshua. How about that? So who's to say it's not fine? It's not okay to cheat someone or to lie or to take advantage of someone? The living God, that's who. Who's to say we ought to love our neighbor as we love ourselves? And that Leviticus 19:18, I think it is, when it says that, it's taking it for granted that we do love ourselves. We do want to best for ourselves, so we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, who's to say that we ought to do that? God is, the Most High God, El Elyon. That's who. To paraphrase the late Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks of England, of blessed memory, the Bible is not only a spiritual code for the salvation of the soul, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's also a set of instructions, and it is that, by the way, for our salvation, but also a set of instructions for humanity, bringing God into the shared spaces of our collective life. This requires law. Law that represents justice, honoring all humans alike, regardless of color or class, that judges impartially between rich and poor, powerful and powerless. And coming from God, this allows freedom to coexist with order, so that my freedom is not bought at the cost of yours. Rabbi Sacks also warns in his recent book, Before the Lord Took Him, his more recent book, which I wish his voice was still heard, is just had such a man of wisdom. It was called Morality, or it is called Morality, Restoring the Common Good in Divided Times. And he warned this. He said, liberal democracy is at risk in Britain, Europe, and the United States. I believe we are undergoing the cultural equivalent of climate change. And only when we realize this will we understand the strange things that have been happening in the 21st century in the realms of politics and economics, the deterioration of public standards of truth and civil debate, and threat to freedom of speech at British and American universities. It also underlies more personal phenomena like loneliness, depression, and drug abuse. All these are related, he said. German Chancellor Angela Merkel warned that, quote, the values on which Europe is founded, freedom, democracy, equality, rule of law, human rights, they are anything but self-evident. The new politics, says Sacks, is populism and identity politics. And I would add, and I'm sure you would as well, virtual signaling, where we make sure everyone knows how virtuous we are by aligning for or against what they do. So I'm sure I'll be liked and accepted. The Torah says, don't follow the crowd. The Hebrew word rabim, I don't have it up for you to see, but the Hebrew word rabim is where we get rab, great from. It's don't follow the majority, the great ones, those who are the many. Don't follow them to evil. And then it says again, don't follow the crowd to pervert justice. Now, Exodus 23, verse 2 is where that comes from. Exodus 23, 2, right in the parasha of today. Demoralized, decadent, deflating, demographically challenged, divided, disintegrating, dysfunctional, declining is how Bill Emmert describes the state of the West today. Sacks says, Rabbi Sacks says, we have moved from the way, from the we rather, to the I. We must move from the I to the us to survive. Concern and self-sacrifice for others. So, I think, Suzanne, you mentioned the right word, 53 mitzvot, that's correct. 53 mitzvot in this parasha today. There are only 41 mitzvot, commandments, rules, if you will, in all the previous ones to this point. And in chapters 21 through 24, we have civil and criminal law, topics from responsibility for damages to protection of property, to laws of justice, to Shabbat and the festivals, interpersonal laws, monetary, agricultural, ritualistic, and judicial laws. We are in community, and we're called to live together with neighbors, not in isolation. We're all interconnected. My actions affect others. There is what we call responsibility. There is to be concern. There's conscience and compassion. Compensation, restitution. Warren Wiersbe says, God's Torah shows that he is concerned about everything. Men, women, children, the unborn, property, and even animals. This is his creation, and he has the right to tell us how to manage it. Now, it's interesting to learn that there's no word. I love it that there's no word. I'm not up to that slide yet, but you already got it. there is no word for to have in Hebrew. It's interesting. I can't say, I have this and I have that. In Hebrew, I'd say, yesh li. There is to me, yesh ata, anyway, there is to me, there is to you, but I can't say I have. And why is that? Because really, God is the possessor of all things. We don't own anything. He's the owner. He's the true owner. He's the heavens and the earth, they belong to him. And look at Exodus. Now you can go to that verse, that slide. Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5 say this. If you find your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, did that happen to anyone this morning? Did you see? No. Oh, okay. It didn't happen. It's too cold for the donkeys. All right. If you find your enemy's ox or donkey going astray, you must surely bring it back to him again. If you see, now isn't that something? I mean, what does that show us about human nature and about something within ourselves that we want to see it happening and like go like this, you know, and ignore it and act like it's not happening and not want to do it, not do anything about it? It tells me that there's something wrong with me, and God knows it. It's called sin. It's called, well, I'll explain in a minute some of the things that could be called. But it says, to continue on the verse, 23 verses 4 and 5, if you see the donkey of the one that hates you lying down under its burden, don't leave it. Rather, you are to release it with him. Help him lift it up. You see, the Talmud says the greatest hero is he who turns an enemy into a friend. And this can only be done through deeds of loving kindness or chesed. So it's not us versus them. It's really who is going to bring God, Hashem, the Lord, into the situation, into the dispute, into the problem. Who is going to be a peacemaker, as Yeshua, Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers. Who's going to be that peacemaker by laying down his or her life? By laying down my life and take, I'll do that. Am I willing to do that? 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19 says, God has reconciled us to himself through our Messiah, Yeshua, and he gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's been given to us. We have it. Now, in chapters 21 through 23, there's a lot of things that God tells us to do that we most certainly can do. And there's a lot of things which God tells us not to do that we can certainly not do them. We can restrain ourselves from transgressing. Some things we can't avoid, but must take responsibility for the consequences. Like a car accident where we're at fault. We can clearly choose not to steal, not to lie, not to speak evil of another, not to assault someone, not to kidnap someone. It's up to us. We can curse, not curse our parents. These are all in these laws, in these mitzvot here. Not to curse a parent, God forbid. To return someone's ox, which is straying or lying under a burden, the property being, or property that's damaged. Not to take a bribe, not to take advantage of someone who doesn't speak my language or understand the ramifications of the transaction, etc. If I mistreat a widow or an orphan, look out. Look out. In verses 21 through 23 of chapter 22, God will get me. God will get you. God takes that really to heart. He says, look, he gets really angry and he will deal with it. What about self-defense? Well, the Bible teaches it. Torah teaches it. It doesn't really, you have to know the context of when Yeshua said turning the other cheek. That was in context. The Bible teaches clearly self-defense, not to be bullied, not to be a victim. Spreading a false report in chapter 23. Maybe that's where the word fake news came from that's become so popularized now. Or slander. But the reality is that oftentimes we do the opposite of what we're supposed to, or the opposite of what we're supposed to not to do. We transgress. And if it relates to the laws of our society and we get caught, we might be tried, we should probably be tried, and potentially convicted. So, chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, let's look at this. This is where the covenant was went into effect. Moses came, chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, of Adonai, as well as all the ordinances. All the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will do. And then it says, so Moses wrote down all the words of Adonai. He wrote them all down. All the words will do. In other words, good stuff, God. We agree. That makes, this all makes sense. Yeah, yeah. We agree. We'll do it. So I would ask, is there some self-deception in thinking we actually will not violate the laws of, whether it's the laws of the land or the laws of God's word? I personally have never violated anything, never done anything wrong. Romans 7:21 says, when I try to do good, Paul's writing, this is, you can turn there, Romans chapter 7, when I try to do good, evil is present in me. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. But look at Romans chapter 7. David prayed, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have mastery over me. Lord, order my steps. Don't let it have mastery. Psalm 119:133. In 119:101, he says, I have kept my feet from every evil way in order to follow your word. But the previous day he says, Lord, don't let it have mastery over me, this iniquity. 119:136, then he says, not I've kept your word, but he says, streams of water run down from my eyes because they do not observe your Torah. My eyes aren't keeping your word. You can imagine that can mean a lot of things. And so he's weeping because he's broken. He says, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. I'm doing what I'm not supposed to with my eyes. So what is the key to being able to perform God's word? God's Torah. Torah means law, but it also means teaching, instruction, guidance, or more generally, direction. It's also the generic name for the five books from Genesis to Deuteronomy that comprise both narrative and law. So Romans chapter 7, let's look at beginning at verse 7. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Paul is writing, the apostle, emissary, Paul, Shaliach, Paul. He says, Is the Torah sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the Torah. For I would not have known about coveting if the Torah had not said, you shall not covet. Or to put it in David's vernacular, thou shalt not covet. Right, David? No, just kidding. All right. You shall not covet. One of the ten commandments, the ten words, right? In Exodus 20 that God gave. And Paul says in another spot, this is what caught me. This is where I said I thought I was doing pretty well, but I want what someone else has. I'm jealous of my neighbor when he or she has that. Now he said, oh my gosh, there's something in me that is not right. Now I know I can't think I'm just a righteous person, all righteous. He says, but sin, taking opportunity, verse 8, worked in me through the commandment all kinds of coveting. For apart from the Torah, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the Torah, but when the commandment came, sin came to life and I died. The commandment meant for life was found to cause death. Sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So then, the Torah, it's not the problem, it's not the Bible, the Torah, not God's word, not what God has said. The Torah is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore, did what is good, and this is almost like an attorney here, he's almost going back and forth with the arguing the law, the different sides of this. That which is good became death to me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin working in death in me through that which is good, so that sin might be shown to be sin, and that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold to sin, for I do not understand what I'm doing. Sound familiar? Anyone can relate? For what I do not want, this I practice, but what I hate, this I do. But if I do what I don't want to do, then I agree with the Torah that it's good. So now it's no longer I doing it, but sin dwelling in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For to will is present in me, but to do the good is not. For the good I want, that I want, I don't do. But the evil that I don't want, this is what I end up practicing, doing. But if I do what I don't want, it is no longer I doing it, but the sin that dwells in me. Now, who's the real me? Well, the amazing thing is that out of this, God is saying there's no condemnation now for those that are in Messiah, that God sees the real you, the real me, the real Paul, as the one who wants to do the right thing, who is through and in the Messiah become righteous. He says, I find it principle, the evil's present in me, the one who wants to do good. Verse 21, for I delight in the Torah of God with respect to the inner man, but I see a different law in my body parts, battling against the law of my mind and bringing me into bondage under the law of sin, which is in my body parts. Miserable man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, it is through Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the Torah of God, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Continue on. Therefore, 8:1, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judgment of, you know, it means katakrino, a downward judgment, for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what was impossible for the Torah, since it was weakened on account of the flesh, God has done, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as a sin offering, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Ruach, the Spirit of God. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Ruach set their minds on the things of the Ruach, the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, the mindset of the Ruach, the Spirit, is life and shalom. And it goes on and on. Interestingly enough, I didn't put it on a chart. I kind of wish I had two charts. But there's like two categories side by side, if you can use your, imagine it as best. Paul's saying there's I and me that want to do good. Then there's sin, or I and me that want to do good. No, I'll go from the right. I and me that want to do good. Then there's sin and evil and bad in character. There's the, in Hebrew, in rabbinic thought, in Jewish Judaism would be the Yetzer HaTov, the good inclination, and then the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Paul calls it the inner man, and then he described the inner man, that's good, my flesh, in this case, bad. My mind, good. My body parts, body of death, bad. The law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua, the law of sin and death. Two warring against each other. And God, but then God sees and declares the true me, as I said, to be the one who wants to do good, not evil. The one who's in Messiah Yeshua. The key seems to be here. I counted 14 times the word Ruach, Spirit, is used in chapter 8, and I believe maybe two or three times in chapter 7. The key is the Ruach, the Spirit. Walking according to the Spirit, 8:4. Living according to the Spirit, 8:5. Putting to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, 8:13, being led by the Spirit, 8:14, knowing he dwells in me, that he cries, Abba, Father, this is 8:15, he cries in me, Abba, Father, to God in me, bearing witness with my spirit that I am God's child and an heir of God and a co-heir with the Messiah, 8:15 through 17. So, he, the Spirit, the Ruach, we believe God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We may not use the term Trinity, but we believe God is a uniplural. I like that term Dan Juster got it years ago gave. The one, he's one God, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, he's one God. He's a unity. He's the Av, Ben, Father, Son, and Ruach HaKodesh, God. Three and yet in one. And the Spirit of God enables me to walk and to live in God's way and to put to death my bodily deeds. He will lead, he will direct me. He who raised Yeshua from death's despair, think about it, he raised Yeshua from the dead, he dwells in me, in you, if you're a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. Imagine it. And he now declares that you're not only his son or daughter, but an heir of the King of Kings and a co-heir with your elder brother, Yeshua. He is our, also called our brother in Hebrews chapter 2, I think it is. And so what happened when you trust Yeshua, the moment you put your faith in what he's done for you, and you said, yes, you bore my sin on the tree, you took my sin, and Isaiah chapter 53 describes, he bore our sins, 1 Peter 2:24, he took them in his body, he took them, Lord, I'm putting my faith, you bore my sin, you paid, you were the only innocent one as the Seha Elohim, the Lamb of God, you are the only one that could take my sin upon you and exchange my sin for your righteousness, and he makes us tzaddikim, righteous ones, through the blood, Adam HaMashiach, the blood of the Messiah. And when I put my faith in him, what happens? I'm born again. I'm born anew. It's brand new. Titus 3:5 calls it the bath of regeneration. It's a rebirth, Yeshua said. You have to be born. Once you're born again, born anew, rebirth, you will see the kingdom of God. Your eyes are open. Why? The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of me. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know you're the temple of the living God? He seals me in Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30. How long? Until the day of redemption, till he returns and resurrects my body. He seals you with his Holy Spirit. He comes to live in you. He says, you're mine now. You belong to me. This is the proof. This is the down payment. But more to come. More to come. You're going to have a new body. Also at the resurrection. But you're mine. He seals us with his Spirit. And now it says that he says you shall have power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. In Acts 1:6 or 1:8, I can't remember. But Acts 1:6 or 8, he says you will have power when the Holy Spirit, he comes upon me. And he fills, says to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, Ephesians 5:18. It says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, walk in him. You live by the Spirit, so walk in him. Walk in the Spirit of God. So the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, is the key to me being what God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do, not doing what God doesn't want me to do. And thank God for Yeshua's atonement to forgive me, to cleanse me, to renew me, to separate my sins as far as the east is from the west, because we all fail. We all blow it. We all do what we all are in the Romans 7 camp. But we don't have to live there all the time. We can live in Romans 8. We can move to transition to Romans chapter 8 from Romans chapter 7. And the life and his the fulfillment of God's life in us now, the fulfillment, as it says here. So, isn't that amazing? I don't understand it all. I certainly don't. I don't understand all that Paul is saying here. But I'll tell you, I know that he's giving us the key here, and he's telling us, he's dealing with us realistically. He's saying he said he was blameless in Philippians chapter 3. His background, he had it all together. He had it together. He was the most orthodox of orthodox Jews and had it all together with all the, with, you know, keeping everything and doing everything. But he says, all of a sudden, I realized, I know I don't. I fail. And I need a redeemer. I need forgiveness. I need something inside me to help me do what I can't do. And so thank God that God has given us his Ruach HaKodesh. Thank God that he doesn't see us as the one. He doesn't say, it's over for you. I give up on you. Forget it. You blew it. Thank God he says, no, you're brand new. If any person be in the Messiah, he's a new creation. She's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We have a new life in him. And if you haven't done that, do it. Do it. Give your life to the Lord and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh, to empower you. Amen? Let's do that now. Father, we thank you for the Torah. We thank you the fault isn't with you or isn't with your Torah, but we thank you that you have given us the tools for a new life, the tools to be what you've called us to be. We thank you for the guide, the direction you give us through the Torah, through the whole Word of God, through the counsel of all the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, from Bereshit to the Apocalypse. We thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that it's dependent upon it's you empowering us and our relationship walking closely hand in hand with you, leaning upon you, dependent upon you, living through you. Lord, teach us. Teach us. Lord, we are like David. Streams of waters flow down my eyes when they don't keep your word, Lord, when we have failed. Lord, we don't want to be like, we know we could just be someone who ignores another person when they're having a hard time, rather than say, well, I don't have time. I don't, it's not my problem. It is my problem too. And Lord, we thank you that you give us the capacity to love through your Holy Spirit. It's another verse, Romans 5:5. He's the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Ruach HaKodesh, who he's given, by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. So we thank you, Lord. It's not in us. We reach out to you to be our help. We reach out to you to be our mind, our strength, our everything. Thank you, God. And if you haven't trusted Yeshua that first time, you need that new birth. You need that new start. God will do it. He will hear your cry right now. Call upon him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be delivered, will be saved, rescued. He will be, you will be. And so call upon him and do it and don't be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to be joined to you, Lord, to become yours. Thank you, God. Thank you. If you prayed that, please let us know. Let us know so we can join you in prayer. I don't know if there'll be prayer here tonight. I know this morning, Gilbert's away. I don't know if there's any. Are there anyone assigned to pray with folks up here? There are? Oh, great. So there'll be a few folks up here to pray with others. If you'd like someone to pray, join you in prayer. And if you'd rather just talk to someone, call someone you know or talk to them, let us know in any way. And virtually, of course, let us know. Communicate with us. And so I'm going to turn it over to Jeff to share a few things before we close in the benediction.
Wow, thank you, Rabbi. That was an amazing sermon. That was really, really powerful. It was great. An application for all of us, no question about that. So, the announcements, I've got them on my phone, and so I don't want to forget any of them. The rabbi mentioned that we have our service on the 27th for Purim, and so please wear your best costumes. We're going to have a lot of fun, and then after the service, we're going to have a meal. And so we would ask that if you are able to make that meal, if you'll please sign up on our website, because we'd like to get a count best we can as to how many people are going to come. It helps us with planning and preparation for how much food we need. So please do that. Also, we've got at 7 p.m. Tonight, via Zoom, we've got the Bridge Mixer with the YMJA, the Young Messianic Jewish Alliance. And this is for our young adults, ages, I think it's 18 to 40. And so that's Zoom. And on the website, we've got a button to register for that. We've got Shabbat dinner for the young adults community, our Zeke group, Friday, February 19th, which is a week from yesterday, at 5:30 p.m. at the Bennett's home. Again, please register. And then the following week, on Friday the 26th, 6 p.m. at the Walnut House in Murfreesboro, we've got an event called Ignite, and Mariana can provide details for that. If you want to come up and just say a little bit about that, Mariana, that'd be great.
Yes, so our young adults group is real active this month. We've got a lot going on. So this event, we've actually already purchased a group of us for tickets. So we all get the discounted price of $15, and there's five of those tickets left. So there will be, if you're interested, let me know, because basically you would just bring the $15 cash at the door, and or if you're writing a check, make it out to Cold OD. So it's $15, dinner provided. Portico is a pro-life organization in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and they support men and women who are dealing with unexpected pregnancies, and they also have a great speaker who is actually, his story is told in the movie Unplanned. So it's Sean Carney, I think. So it's going to be a great night. Really excited about it, obviously. So please let me know if you're interested in coming with us.
So, Mariana, for the sign up for the other things, is there?
It's,
yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Also, we've got small groups, Havarot, Tuesdays, weekly on Tuesday evenings from 6:30 to 8, and it's led by Rabbi Ken. So please contact if you're interested. In Gallatin, we have weekly on Friday night, 6 to 7, contact David and Beth Mack at 619-277-2416 or teachermack@gmail.com. Weekly on Tuesday evenings, we have dinner and prayer. Dinner starts at 6, prayer at 6:30, 6:30 to 7:30 right here. Wednesday from 7:30 to 8:30, we have a Zoom prayer meeting. And so that's Wednesday. Men's Maccabee every other Wednesday. And this Wednesday is the time that we have this. It's going to be 6:30 to 7:30, and it's via Zoom. And those are the announcements that I have, unless anyone has any more. Oh, sorry. You had asked me earlier. I'm very sorry. We have coffee and donuts after the service, so please join us for coffee and donuts in the foyer. So, with that, probably the most important thing that I'm supposed to provide to you. We have offerings. We have tzedakah boxes both to my right and to my left. They are open. Please leave them open for the social distancing aspect, and so that we can keep ourselves as far away from the virus as we can. But if you would, those are for tithes and offerings. If you're part of the congregation, we ask you, if the Lord leads you, to please consider giving to our congregation. We really are blessed to have all the things that we have. And it seems that the Lord is really moving tremendously. And it's just a blessing to be part of that aspect of God's work, is to give to the Lord if the Lord so moves you. Amen. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's stand for the Let's stand for the benediction. We sure do appreciate your support, and God is doing a lot. We have a lot more we want to do. So, thank you for your faithful support. Kol Dudi. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nav eilecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Adonai p'nav eilecha v'yisem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the ruler of peace. Shabbat shalom, and see you for some donuts or coffee.